The Reverend Oscar C. McCullough of Indianapolis believed in eugenics. He helped create the framework for sterilization programs in Indiana. He wrote The Tribe of Ishmael, a scathing report about one Indiana family's slide into poverty and idiocy because of bad breeding and inbreeding. McCullough helped create the State Board of Charities in 1889 to house the insane and feeble-minded. The Committee on Mental Defectives took over in 1915. CMD social workers went to homes and schools, measured IQs, and looked for hereditary traits like alcoholism, promiscuity, and insanity. The largely female social workers helped many families, but they were also wrong sometimes. The 1934 film Tomorrow's Children presents an extreme example of these visits and recommendations. In the movie, a group of doctors, social workers, and a judge decide the fate of a family that has just lost a newborn. Dr. Brooks wants to help them.
Brooks was all worked up about a charity case in the maternity ward. He insisted on seeing her home.
Who was it, Brooks?
Well, that Mason case. The baby was born dead. Good thing, too. She already has a house full of idiots and cripples.
The doctors recommend sterilization. They send a social worker to round up the family members, including one daughter named Alice, who seems to be completely unaffected by her family's bad genes.
And you want Alice to go, too?
Why, of course. She has your blood in her veins. Maybe she won't want to go. You leave that to me. I'll make her understand it's for her own good.
Alice escapes the scalpel of social improvement in the nick of time, but most young women sent for sterilization weren't so lucky. Indiana University Professor Emeritus of Applied Health Science Ruth Angs says a lot of women were sterilized for being feeble-minded.
Women who decided to have children out of wedlock, women who had more than one sex partner, prostitutes who were having sex for pay, uppity women. A number of the suffragettes were considered feeble-minded to be demanding the vote.
Ultimately, a lot of these women, men, and children went to institutions like the Indiana Schools for Feeble-Minded Youth at Fort Wayne and Muscatatuck, where the majority of the sterilizations took place. They stayed put until at least 1927, when the U.S. Supreme Court took up the case Buck v. Bell. Carrie Buck and her mother had been committed to the Virginia colony for the feeble-minded. Her mother was put away for prostitution, and Carrie followed her there when she became pregnant at 17. About the same time, a doctor at the colony was sued for sterilizing people without consent. He asked his lawyer to write a test case to protect him. The Buck case seemed perfect. Georgia State University law professor Paul Lombardo has written extensively on the Buck v. Bell case. He says the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the right of states to sterilize people who are mentally defective. The famous jurist Oliver Wendell Holmes wrote the opinion.
He declared Carrie Buck manifestly unfit and said that the country was suffering from a tide of such people which would submerge the rest of us. And Carrie Buck, who was the mother of a feeble-minded daughter and herself the daughter of a feeble-minded mother, represented the third generation in this line of defective heredity, of which Holmes said three generations of imbeciles are enough.
The Buck v. Bell decision breathed new life into the eugenics movement. Next time on Indiana Eugenics, 2,500 Hoosiers and 65,000 men, women, and children were sterilized across the country over the next 50 years.
Sterilization moved more effectively into being understood as something that was a progressive public health measure that would protect society.
Also, how the Nazi regime led a lot of people to rethink eugenic sterilization. That's in Part 3 of Indiana Eugenics. For WFYI News, I'm Mary Hartnett.